out there in Maine, Maine Land. This is Steve Matsuna with program number 6 of the Backup Corner on ACB Main Menu. This week I'd like to talk to you a little bit about free software. And some people say, free software beware. Well, that's true to some extent, and not true to others. First piece of free software I'd like to tell you about is something that you can obtain for commercial purposes, for your own use, by purchasing it. And that is the OnStream Persistent File System, or PFS, patent-pending technology that is behind their backup product, which is called Echo. Echo comes with a tape drive, which I recently purchased for my own system, called an OnStream SC50. The SC is the designation for SCSI, and the 50 happens to refer to the fact that each tape cartridge holds 50 gigabytes of data. Now, you say 50 gigabytes, that sounds like a lot of data. Well, it is. Except for one thing. It's 50 gigabytes compressed, 25 megabytes uncompressed. That's the first gotcha. The second gotcha is, you can only use this software on OnStream tape drives. The software is actually pretty good. Let me explain to you what it does. The reason it's called Echo, and the reason that they give it the nomenclature of Persistent File System, or PFS, as they call it, is because the tape drive looks, for all intents and purposes, like another disk drive to your computer. As a matter of fact, when you install the software, there are two such special device drivers which get installed at installation time. One is for the tape drive itself, and one is for a catalog of all backups that you make with the tape drive. Now, the defaults for these things are reasonable, so they don't interfere with other devices you may already have designated on your computer. The tape drive is drive T, and the catalog drive is drive V for Victor. And the way that you back up and restore to this thing is very much like how you would use Windows Explorer, except if you want to do an en masse backup, they give you a backup program, because just dragging and dropping things onto the T drive doesn't work quite that way. It'll work for single files. As a matter of fact, one of the things you can even do is open the tape drive and record a video stream as a single file. You can also open the tape drive and read files in Windows applications like Word or Excel or just about anything you could think of. You can open a file straight from the tape drive. Of course, the drawback to this is tapes are sequential devices. Now, you all know the difference between a sequential device and a random access device, right? Well, just in case you don't, a random access device means you can, through a series of indexes, direct a random access device where to look on the inserted medium for a particular piece of data. That's what the file allocation table on a disk buys you. So you don't have to go tiptoeing through the disk file by file and figuring out what things are. They give you a VTOC, or volume table of contents, at the front of the disk, and they also give you something called a file allocation table. Between these two data structures, it allows a program to find a file by name using this indexing method. Then, of course, the head can move directly to where that file is located on the disk and start reading it. That's random access. Sequential access is, you start at the beginning, you look at everything along the way, and when you find what you want, you stop. Pure and simple. Sequential access is, you start at the beginning, and you just keep moving on until you find what you're after, and when you get there, you'll know it. You'll know it by some header information, or you'll know it by how big it is. Whatever it is that identifies a piece of data for you as the thing you want, you'll know it when you find it, and that's all there is. Now, there can be more than one piece of data of the thing, of the type you're looking for, on a sequential medium. We'll translate that to, there can be more than one version of a file on your tape that you have backed up. For example, you might have a database that gets changed daily. So there's today's backup, and then there's tomorrow's backup, and the next day's backup, and you're backing up the same file, but the contents of the file are different from day to day. That's where the PFS technology comes in. The persistent file system shows you, in a list view, all the different versions of a file that you have backed up. It allows you to restore any one of those versions. And all you have to do is click on it, it'll tell you which tape to insert, and bingo, you can have your database from 3 days ago if you need it. Or you can have your report before you made the big error and accidentally gave the boss a couple extra $100,000 of revenue because you forgot a decimal point in your calculation, and you can restore the correct version. Well, that's the persistent file system. The other neat thing about it is you can browse the catalog, you can browse the V drive, just like you would browse any other drive on your system, and you can find out what you have backed up. The downside of this, there's always a gotcha, is that the Echo backup system does not give you fantastic reports. It will tell you either everything that you backed up on a backup-ly basis, or it'll tell you nothing. No in between. And if you want to know if something's been backed up, they, the on-stream Echo people, figure what you really ought to be doing is going into their backup software, going into the Echo catalog view, and looking it up yourself, rather than them having to tell you what it is that you've been doing. They figure it's your responsibility, not theirs. Well, that's all right as far as it goes, but it takes some getting used to. The scheduling capability that Echo comes with is really quite good. You can schedule backups anytime you want them. You can schedule them hourly. You can schedule them minutely if you want. You can set it up so that the tape will not rewind between backups, which is what I do, because my next backup is just going to be an incremental backup immediately after the preceding one, which is what my backup policy is on normal days, except if I do something special with my system and I want to run a full backup, or I want to run a special backup of a complete drive that's outside of my normal schedule. The tape just stays where it is in between backups. You can have the tape rewound after the backup. You can have the tape cache updated between backups so that the positioning time for finding files, if you want to do a restore, is minimal. They give you lots and lots of controls over the tape drive. Well, that's fine, but the gotcha here is that you can only use their tape drive. Why, oh why, they have set it up this way, I don't know. One of these days, they say they're going to expand and move Echo onto other platforms. I can't wait, because there's lots of people I know out there with DAT drives and DLTs and all sorts of other high-capacity, low-cost drives, so that's the other thing. The cartridges for the on-stream tape drive are not cheap. They're $50 a throw. But $50 for 50 gig, I suppose, is not so bad. When you consider the alternative, a CD-ROM, best effort on a CD-ROM is going to be 3/4 of a gig. How many 3/4 are there in 50? Well, let's say for fun that there are 60 3/4 in 50. I think there are actually more. I think there are actually more like 62 and a half. But just for argument's sake, let's say there are 60 3/4 of a meg in 50 megs. Okay? If you multiply 3/4 of a meg, 3/4 of a gig, rather, if you multiply 3/4 of a gig by 60, you'll get, well, what will you get? Let's see. 6 7s are 42, 6 5s are 30, 5 3 2 is 5. Oh, you'll get about 45 gigs. All right, close enough for government work. I proved my point. The point being that if you bought 60 CD-ROMs at approximately 75 cents a piece, you'd be spending $45 for the darn 50 gigs anyway. So, byte for byte, it's about the same as CD-ROM, but you gotta buy it all up front. You gotta buy it in 50 gig pieces, because that's how the cartridges come. And that's all there is to it. So, if you're looking for a high capacity, high availability, easy to use backup system, Echo might be something you might want to consider. And the drive wasn't cheap either. I was rather annoyed that the drive was about $400. I thought it was going to be cheaper than that. But I need the high availability for my company. I need the high throughput for what my system is doing most of the time, which is collecting data. And I need the high reliability. So it wasn't really a choice for me. It was, this is what you have to go with. But we're talking about high-end backups here. The one thing that Echo does not do that I was most dismayed to learn when I got the thing was there is no disaster recovery procedure or programming built into the thing. You have got to come up with a Windows system on your own, build it yourself, reinstall the backup software, and then restore your backup tapes. To me, that is a real flaw, a real problem. Any software which is as good as this should have the disaster recovery bootable backup feature added to it. Okay, so if you can't skin a cat one way, let's skin a cat another way. Let's talk about backing up to CDR and DVD. My DVD drive, made by Toshiba, has such a feature, and they call it crash recovery. What you do is you take a DVD RAM disk, and you make a bootable backup from this disk. When the disk is made, certain utilities are put onto it that will allow you to restore the backup, and once you have the backup restored and you can boot your C drive as you normally do, well, you're home free. Then you can restore anything else you want. You can restore your other drives if you have any other drives, and like I said, you're pretty much home free. A lot of people have been asking me about doing backup programs in the future for other platforms, in particular Windows NT and Windows 2000. Frankly, I'd love to do them, but I don't have the expertise, and I don't really have access to Windows NT or 2000. Windows NT, I shouldn't say I don't have the access to it, I really do. But I try very hard to stay away from it because it causes a lot of problems for me. The software that I want to use with it doesn't always run on it correctly, even though they say it's supposed to, but you know how that goes. And Windows 2000 is too new, and I just haven't had the opportunity to obtain a copy, install it, learn it, play with it, and understand it. If you'd like to talk about backups in other media, I see there's a lot of interest in Linux. I can address those issues. And if you'd like to discuss any of the aforementioned with me, I would encourage you to send me an email. You can contact me the easiest way is by leaving me an email at SM, that's SM for Steve Metzler, at dataguardian.com. And DataGuardian is spelled DataGuardian, just like it sounds. SM at dataguardian.com. And that's the company box. And I will read it and respond to it probably from another email address. But generally speaking, that's the easiest and fastest way to reach me. Also, I'm always open to talking about new ideas for future programs, because frankly, there's just so much one can talk about backup without being redundant. If you'd like software demos, I can do that on a limited basis. I don't have every backup piece of backup software ever known to man, ever created by man, for man. I just don't. I have what I have. I can download demos of things and show them to you. But basically, if you listen to the first two or three programs in this series, you will know by now that a piece of backup software does one thing, and there's really only one or two ways you can do that one thing, and that is, it copies files from one medium to another, and possibly sets a bit letting you know that the file has been copied, and not to copy it again. That's what good backup software is supposed to do. The interfaces may change, the scheduling options may vary, your mileage may vary, etc., etc., but the bottom line is, backup is nothing more than a six-letter word for copy, with some automation in front of it. That being said, I would like to thank you for listening to these programs, and like I said, if you have any comments or suggestions, and if you'd like future programs, please write to me at sm@dataguardian.com. That's SM for Steve Matsura at DataGuardian, DataGuardian.com. For the backup corner, it's been fun. This is Steve Matsura.